The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration recently released new climate normals, which are basically averages from a 30-year period that define what's considered typical for a given place at a particular time of year. The normals reflect changes that have already happened in Delaware's climate because it's 30 years in the past, so it's not something that's like a new reality as of this spring. It's something that is now formally recognized. And some of the changes that we saw reflected in the new set of normals compared to the previous 30 years was that the yearly average temperatures were between a half a degree and 1 degree warmer in Delaware. And that was particularly driven by warmer minimum temperatures in the cool seasons, like the winters and the falls. And we also saw longer growing seasons by a couple of days, kind of varying across the state. So I'm curious, are these changes things that you all in Extension have seen happening in Delaware in recent years?
So as far as the season lengthening, so we have seen some changes, maybe being able to plant some vegetable crops earlier, having a longer growing season in the fall. One of the problems with adapting to this change is that it is a new normal. So it does change our planting dates. It changes the practices that we have used in the past. So our old planting dates might not be the best planting dates anymore, but it's the changes aren't so well established and known that we can rely on those changes in the climate. So some of the data from NOAA will help us to do that.
So what does a longer growing season mean for Delaware farmers? Some of the new numbers that came out for the recent normals range from like 3 or 4 additional days in areas like Wilmington or Dover up to 15 additional days in Georgetown. So I'm curious, like, what kinds of crops are most likely to see this change and actually be reflected in changing of planting behavior or different harvest times?
So on the vegetable side of things, some of the fall crops that we plant may have an extended season. So that would be crops like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Some of those crops we might have a bigger window of opportunity for planting. Also things like lettuce, those cool season crops. The extension on the front end of the season in the spring might allow some things to be planted earlier, tomatoes, peppers, and watermelons, which could also sweet corn, which could result in earlier harvests for those crops.
And does this mean, you know, like higher yields, or is this good for business for these type of vegetable farmers?
So it creates opportunities. I don't know that it creates opportunities for higher yields. And for people who are producing fresh market vegetables that they're either wholesaling or direct marketing, it might present opportunities to produce those vegetables over a longer period of time. But it also introduces uncertainty into production because we are not familiar with working in this sort of season.
Emily, one of the other things that your research is showing is the impact of higher nighttime temperatures on quality, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So with most of the temperature increases being the result of increases in daily minimums, that means nighttime temperatures are rising faster than daytime temperatures. And this is a trend that's being observed in many places related to climate change. So with a lot of crops, and particularly with beans and tomatoes are two crops that are particularly affected, high nighttime temperatures mess up pollination. They cause the anthers in those plants to remain closed and not release the pollen. And so then pollination doesn't occur and you don't have seed or fruit formation. And so that reduces yields or delays harvests because during those periods of high nighttime temperatures, which we have been getting pretty much for the entire month of July, often the past few years, you're not getting fruits set or pod set in the case of beans.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like it's sort of a double-edged sword that for certain crops, you might be harvesting over a longer period of time. And then for others, it's actually messing up the ability of the plants to produce what they normally would.
Yes. So the way we are adapting to those high July nighttime temperatures is to change planting dates, to move sort of that flowering period away from that window, but that means that that we're losing a productive time that we had in the past.
So this question is probably more one for you, David. What does having warmer winters and specifically warmer nighttime temperatures in those winters, what does that mean for pests that farmers deal with?
Sure. Well, several of our pests are negatively impacted by extreme cold or by a widely fluctuating condition. So weeks in which you might have lows in the teens followed by highs in the 70s. And the less that we have those deep cold periods, the more likely it is for certain insects to overwinter successfully. There's always a bit of a population that dies off in the winter time because of environmental conditions. So a couple of great examples of that are slugs. Mild winters or winters that have a lot of snow cover that insulate the ground favor slug survivorship. Another great pest are nematodes. Nematodes can be significant pests, and when the ground freezes, that kills a lot of nematodes and sets their population back, so they do not become as problematic as early in the growing season as they are in more southern states.
So I guess as a general rule, does, you know, warmer winters, warmer nighttimes mean more pests?
Yeah, I would think that, yes, it generally will favor more pests or at least shift some of the timing of those pests. So certain insect pests may come out a little bit earlier than they otherwise would have. The other factor in the equation with pests is a lot of our pests do have other insects that feed on them or microbial pathogens that kill them. And so, you know, the jury is still out on how climate change affects those beneficials. You know, it's something that we don't fully understand. So it basically goes hand in hand. And so that's why it's important for farmers, for gardeners, for extension personnel like myself and Dr. Ernest to continually be in communication with consultants, with farmers, and also to be out in the field and see firsthand how these different factors are all playing together. And that way, we can provide good, timely information for our stakeholders.
David Owens and Emily Ernest of the Cooperative Extension at the University of Delaware, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Sophia. Good to be here.